And a hearty welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Today, we continue our 6 Degrees of Scotland series with a look at three Scottish Americans influential in the birth of the United States: Charles Thompson, James Wilson, and Mr. Thomas Jefferson himself. And as always, a great selection of Scottish music, old and new, like this track from up-and-coming piano player Fergus MacCready, folk music with a jazz attitude. Let's keep listening together. From new album Cairn, that's the title track, Cairn, by Fergus MacCready. Fergus hails from a wee town near Stirling called Dollar. Yep, Dollar. Nothing to do with the American currency, mind you. It's most likely from the Gaelic word for dark and gloomy, or possibly another word meaning place of the meadow. In any case, that's some handy fingerwork from Mr. MacCready. At simplyscottish.com, you'll find show notes for this episode with a link to Fergus's website in case you want to hear more of his handiwork. Thanks for choosing Simply Scottish today. I know firsthand just how many podcasts are out there these days, millions upon millions of episodes, but right now you're getting your dose of all things Scottish, and for that I'm grateful. I don't get to produce new episodes as often as I used to with the demands of family and work, but there are 70-odd episodes of the podcast available 24/7 to listen to, and always another coming on the horizon, so stick with us. A quick hello to listeners who have recently contacted me. Patricia, listening in Vermont, is a Scottish-trained kilt maker. Her Scottish grandmother taught her to hand-sew kilts and got her into Scottish culture. Patricia, thanks for listening, and I might connect with you about making me a kilt out of McDermott tartan. Believe it or not, I've come this far in life without owning a full kilt of my own. As Wallace's uncle says in the movie Braveheart, we shall have to remedy that. I also heard from Dan Hughes, a professional musician and composer. He asked if I'd be interested in commissioning some bespoke music for Simply Scottish. Not a bad idea, Dan. When this podcast ran as a radio show, we used to open and close with some great Celtic-themed movie score music every episode from Jerry Goldsmith. It was from a movie called The Ghost in the Darkness. It had African elements and Celtic elements, and it was just a great track. Nowadays, I like to start and end with different music every time, to spice things up. But I might be interested in a custom opening and closing bumper. What do you think, listeners? Lastly, I heard from Stephanie, who loves the podcast and wanted to know the name of the female singer I include in the episode Ireland and Scotland, Part 1, Celtic History and Language. She's either talking about Glaswegian singer Maeve O'Boyle, whose song Butterfly is just gorgeous, or a song I played from famous Scottish band Capercaillie on that episode. Hopefully that helps. Needless to say, I love hearing from listeners of the podcast. Contact me via the website at simplyscottish.com or directly via email at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Don't forget to tell me where in the world you're listening from and what your connection to Scotland is. And speaking of connections, let's get to today's topic. Can any two people in the world be connected by a degree of 6 or less? That's the gist of an intriguing theory that emerged in the early 20th century as technological advances in communication and travel brought people closer together than ever before. In this ongoing series, we're applying the same idea to a discussion of Scotland's remarkable contribution to the world. Is it possible that everyone and everything on the earth can be linked to Scotland by a measurable degree? So far, we've tested that cheeky idea by highlighting a number of prominent Americans with Scottish roots, both past and present, including President Ronald Reagan, actress Judy Garland, whiskey magnate Jasper Newton Jack Daniel, singer Johnny Cash, and others. Here, we round out a survey of notable Scottish Americans in particular with a look at three individuals and their role in shaping the most famous document in American history, the Declaration of Independence. As President George W. Bush said in a 2008 proclamation on National Tartan Day, many of our country's most cherished customs and ideals first grew to maturity on Scotland's soil. Perhaps no ideal is more cherished by Americans than freedom, boldly proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence of 1776. With its assertion that all men are created equal, and endowed by their Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the document echoed another declaration written centuries beforehand, Scotland's Declaration of Arbroath. Penned in 1320, it was a passionate appeal to the Pope to recognise Scottish sovereignty during the Wars of Independence with England. Specifically, it put the will of the people above the king and outlined the lengths Scotland's citizens would go to secure peace. The spirit of Scotland's declaration no doubt inspired America's founding fathers as they wrote their own pronouncement of national sovereignty. While at least a third of the signatories of America's declaration were Scots by birth or descent, three in particular deserve mention. Charles Thompson was a patriot leader during the American Revolution. Born in Ireland in 1729, Thompson's father hailed from the Scottish town of Kirkcaldy on the banks of the Firth of Forth. In 1739, Thomas emigrated to Pennsylvania to become a scholar and a businessman. He supported the quest for independence with great passion. In Philadelphia, he was a leader in the Sons of Liberty, a secret group of landowners who fought to defend the rights of the colonists. In 1774, he was appointed Secretary of the Continental Congress, a position he held for all 15 years of its existence. In this role, Thompson was the only non-delegate to sign the Declaration of Independence. In addition to exhaustive journals detailing congressional business, he also tracked foreign affairs, and is credited, along with William Barton, with designing the Great Seal of the United States. Many respected Thompson for his trustworthiness and his zeal. John Adams, second President of the United States, called Thompson the life of the cause of liberty. His name is etched literally and figuratively into the birth of the American Republic. More after music from West Coast folk singer Ainsley Hamel. From her debut album, Belle of the Ball, this is The Green Woods Back Home.
Waiting in the green woods back home. I'm not so sure if it'll come back, but I'll
You're listening to Simply Scottish. Another influential figure of the revolutionary period in America was James Wilson. Born near St. Andrews in Scotland in 1742, Wilson was one of seven children born to a hard-working farming family. He was educated at St. Andrews and Glasgow universities. In 1766, he immigrated to Pennsylvania, armed with an education in government, logic, rhetoric, and the ideas of the Scottish Enlightenment. Wilson studied law and ran his own practice. It wasn't long before he began to study the legality of Britain's relationship with the colonies. He challenged British parliamentary authority in a popular pamphlet, and soon after was elected to the Continental Congress as a representative of Pennsylvania. Sensitive to the needs of his constituents, Wilson worked tirelessly until his state was ready to pursue independence. Only then did he add his signature to the Declaration of Independence. But his influence as a founding father didn't stop there. In 1784, Wilson was appointed to the Constitutional Convention. Recognized as the most knowledgeable and well-read lawyer present, Wilson was given the task of writing out the first draft of the United States Constitution. His influence on the shaping of the Constitution was probably second only to President James Madison. If Madison is considered the father of this famous paper, Wilson was the architect. His efforts assured that it would bring a popularly elected government where the people at large would retain the supreme power. For his service to the creation of a national government, George Washington appointed Wilson as an Associate Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, a position he held until his death in 1798. Professor L.H. Alexander of Harvard University summed up Wilson's legacy when he called him the greatest intellectual power dominating the nation at its birth. Not bad for the lowly son of a farmer in Fife. Our brief look at key Scottish Americans who played a role in the birth of America concludes with Thomas Jefferson himself, third President of the United States and one of the more well-known founding fathers. Although exact details of his lineage are sketchy, Jefferson said he could trace his pedigree far back in England and Scotland. His Scottish ancestry comes from his mother, Jane Randolph, who was born in London. Some sources say his lineage can be traced back to King Robert I of Scotland. Whatever his percentage of Scottish blood, Jefferson's education was largely shaped by Scots. He was tutored in the classical languages by William Douglas, a Scottish clergyman, with whom he partook of mouldy pies and excellent instruction. Jefferson also studied under Scotsman William Small at the College of William and Mary. Small impressed on young Jefferson an appreciation for science, math, and the Scottish Enlightenment thinkers. In his autobiography, Jefferson said his time with Small probably fixed the destinies of my life. As primary author of the Declaration of Independence, it is easy to see how Scottish ideals helped inform Jefferson's work on this important historical document. On Independence Day, and indeed any day of the year, Americans, as well as those who love America, can be thankful for the contributions to America of the Scots, who have prized and fought for freedom since the birth of their own nation almost 1,000 years ago. And I think, especially now, with so much chaos, confusion, COVID-related hardship, and division, we need the principles of unity and individual freedom found in America's founding documents more than ever. As a Scotsman, I have an undying love for my homeland, and that will never change. But recently, I've come to acknowledge what an amazing and fragile experiment we're nurturing in the United States, unlike anything else in the world, past or present. It's something definitely worth defending. America has had its faults from the get-go, and still has faults. But America is a place where people from every nation, every tribe, every belief can come together and live in unity. To quote a new song from one of my family's favorite bands, For King and Country, I don't know what it's like to be you. You don't know what it's like to be me. What if we're all the same in different kinds of ways? Can you relate? Check out more episodes of Simply Scottish wherever you get your podcasts, or at simplyscottish.com. Drop me a line at andrew@simplyscottish.com. And check out the show notes for this episode at simplyscottish.com for the names of the songs we're playing, links to further resources, and more. We'll close with a beautiful song written by Tom Waits and sung here by Dublin-born folk singer Niamh Parsons. It's called The Briar and the Rose. I've played a lot of songs over the years on Simply Scottish, and this is definitely one of my favourites. It was a favourite of my mother's too, who used to sit at home faithfully every week and record each live episode of the show as it came over the radio. All 144 episodes. Thanks, Mom. Let's connect again soon for your next dose of All Things Scottish. Until then, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
I fell asleep down by a stream, and there I heard the stranger's dream. And down by Brennan's glen there grows a briar and a rose.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
Into the air, a briar and a rose. Well, I don't know how long it's been, but I was born in Brennan's glen, and near the end of spring there grows the briar and the rose. I picked the rose one early morn, I pricked my finger winding wove right around the rose. I tried to tear them both apart. I felt a bullet through my heart, and all dressed up in spring's new clothes, a bride. Your tears may fall.